And I'm going to read verse 1. 2 Timothy 3:1. The Apostle Paul writes, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Let's read it again. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times should come." Let's pray, and we'll bless the offering as well. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the hearts of your people, the giving hearts that they have, Lord, to support the kingdom of God. We ask you firstly, Lord, that you would bless the offering that we have received this morning, stretch it to meet all of the need of the church. And Father, we ask you to anoint this word, to make it clear into the hearts and the ears of your people, and help us all to take heed to it, Lord, for we are in perilous times. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. This know also, Paul is telling Timothy, and he's also telling you and I, that there is something that we need to know about the hour, particularly that we are in right now. It means that we have to be very careful not to be misdirected. And right now, the media, for the most part, is misdirecting the focus of God's people. They're not doing it on purpose. They don't know any better. They're misdirecting. They have us looking at something else, instead of looking at what we really need to be looking at. So Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days," those are the days just prior to the coming of our Lord in the rapture of the church, "that perilous times shall come." It means that before Jesus comes, we're going to live through some perilous times, God's own people. The word perilous means dangerous or hazardous. It means to be put in jeopardy by the times that we're living in. I thought about this morning. If someone had told you and I 3 months ago that the day was coming that in the United States of America they would shut the door of every house of worship, we would have laughed in their faces. We would have told them, "This is America, brother. That can't happen here." But now we're living in the circumstance that we thought would have never happened. And I'll just make this statement, and I'll move on from it, and I'd ask you to think about it. The virus didn't close the houses of worship. The government did. And that lets you know they can't do it. Somebody say, "Well, the government wouldn't do that." Yes, they can, and they will do it, and they have done it. And everything that's been done in the nation has been done by the government. The virus kills people. Everything else is the government. But Paul tells us that perilous times, dangerous times were going to come in the last days. I have been since the very onset, and I think I ministered on it maybe 6 weeks ago, and it's been on my heart since. We all are in danger of contracting this virus. And some of us will just get sick, and some of us will have huge, horrible issues with it, perhaps even lose our lives. That's a danger. It's a peril. In addition to that, some 20 or 30 million people that could afford to take care of their family are now standing in a three-hour food line just to get food for their family. And all of us are in danger of that. These are perilous times. But I don't want your mind to be misdirected, because you can't get enough hand sanitizer. You can't get enough face mask. You can't wash your hands enough times to really take the real peril out of the way. And here's what it is. You as a Christian, you have been separated from the fellowship. You have been separated from your pastor. We've been separated one from another. Don't let these times separate you from God. Don't let them cause a gap between you and your walk with God. And listen, Satan does his very best work when he gets that Christian isolated by himself. He begins to work upon the mind. He begins to manipulate the mind. He begins to throw suggestions and temptations until little by little we begin to take heed to what we're hearing from the enemy. And we don't have the fellowship. We don't have the pasture that we can draw strength from. Your greatest danger is not the virus. Your greatest danger is not unemployment. Your greatest danger is having the adversary of your soul steal your crown during this time of separation. And I ministered 7 weeks ago, and I'll minister again. You need to beef up your prayer life. Beef up your study in the Word. Get closer to God. If you're every Christian during this time of separation, one of two things is going to happen to every Christian. You're either going to get closer to God, or you're going to get pulled away from God. No one will remain unchanged. Let me say it again. One of two things is going to happen. You're either going to get closer to God, or you're going to allow this time of separation to pull you away from God. And the only way that you can really battle it at this time is you got to know Him for yourself. Amen. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for the fellowship. Thank God for the community of the church. But when it comes right down to it, you are responsible for your own soul. And Satan uses these times, this time of separation, to begin to try to instill habits in your daily activity that you may struggle with for the next 5 or 10 years. I wonder this morning, how many Christians have spent the last 6 weeks on their computers watching pornography? I just wonder. When you don't have the voice of the pastor, they're hammering you every week, and you're spiritual minded. I wonder how many have begun to stray into things that they should not have. I wonder how many of our sipping saints are sipping a little bit more during these times that we're out of church. Satan will put a habit in your life that you'll struggle with for the next year, 5 years, maybe the next decade of your life, because he uses these times of separation to hurt us. In the book of Luke chapter 22, I'll show you. Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord is speaking to Peter, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold," it means set your attention on this, pay attention, "Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat." The word sift means to separate, that he might separate you. Separate him from the Lord. Separate him from the other apostles. Get him off by himself, because again, that's where Satan works with the mind. And the whole battlefield is right between your ears. That's where the battlefield is really at. Once you lose the mental battle, your physical body has no choice. It's going to follow your brain, wherever your brain goes. He says, "Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he might separate, sift you as wheat." Oh, but praise God, he says, "but I have prayed for you." And saints, this morning, Jesus is yet praying for us. We still have a mediator that's sitting at the right hand of the power on high. We may have missteps. We may have areas that we've missed opportunities. I saw a meme on Instagram, I think it was yesterday, and the woman was saying that after all this time off, we still haven't found 15 minutes that we could spend with the Lord. And I think that's the case in so many Christians' lives, that we have time. You can no longer use that as an excuse. "Well, I don't have time to read my Bible." We haven't had nothing but time. I don't have time to pray. How much time do you need? You got 24 hours a day now. Many of us are not going to work, or we're wink, wink, working from home. Yeah, we got time. Now, there's some still on the front lines. We have one here, a pharmacist here that's on the front lines every day. But the vast majority of us, we got time. But we don't avail ourselves of it, because we don't understand this is Satan's opportunity to come into your life while you're separated and deal with your mind and hinder your walk with God. He's an adversary. He's the enemy of your soul. And he'll take advantage of this time that you don't have a choice. It's not that you didn't come to church. You can't come to church. The enemy knows it. And he'll use this opportunity to come in and plant something in your life that you will stumble over for the next 5 or 10 years if he can draw it out that far. But it says, Jesus said, "but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." Now, it's funny that he used that term, that your faith fail not. And that's, of course, that's important. But faith is not faith until it's expressed. You can't just have it and not express it. And what does faith look like when it is expressed? It's an attempt by the person expressing that faith to walk closer with the Lord, to build up their most holy faith, to have a greater relationship with the Lord. And that's what Satan wants to stop. He wants to stop relationship with the Lord. It's one thing to die sick of the virus. That's bad. It's one thing to die sick because I didn't have no food. I starved to death. That's bad. But it's another thing to lose your eternal soul because your relationship with Jesus has been terminated, or it's been hurt. It's another thing altogether. The times of separation, when we're separated from God, that's when Satan can come in, and he can hurt us badly. How many's ever made a mistake in your walk, and it took you 5 years to get it straight? You created a habit in your life, and now it's been like 5 years. You're still dealing, trying to get through that habit. I know I've done it. I had one with 7 years. But if he can put something in your life now, during this time of separation, if he can plant some tares in your life, he can cause you to stumble, even when this separation is over. I was thinking about the man that we commonly refer to as Legion. Legion. I want to read you a description of Legion. I just saw this morning in Mark chapter 5 in verse 1. It says, "And they," speaking of Jesus and the disciples, "came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling in the tombs." Now think about this. This man as a child was not born in the tombs. There was a time as a young man, no doubt, that he lived in society. He lived with his parents. He did the things that all other people did. But somehow he went through a time that he separated, and now he was isolated in the graveyard. That's where Satan began to work with him. That's where Satan began to maneuver his mind and cause someone who was evidently from the story, he was not mentally deficient. He was under the influence of demonic powers. And here's how bad it got. He had his dwelling amongst the tombs. That means he's separated. Folks don't live in the graveyard. He's already separated. And during that point of separation, it says no man could bind him, not with chains, because often he had been bound, meaning his family bound him with fetters and chains, trying to help him. The chains had been plucked asunder by him and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself. It means that Satan used the time of separation that he had this person isolated away from everyone else, that he began to twist his mind until the man began to use a self-destructive means to hurt himself. And Satan doesn't change. He'll do the same thing now. He may not have you cut yourself with rocks, but he'll have you cut yourself with alcohol or with reefer or with pornography or all of the other many things that can come into our minds. No, it's not like in the beginning. During this time, I've been doing a study on Genesis. And I found something out that just blew my mind. Think in your own mind, how many sins could you do? If you wanted to do as many as you could, how many is available to you? It's quite 100, 1,000. There's a lot of sins. Adam only had one sin. There was only one possible sin that Adam could. There was no law. There was no people. He can only do one thing wrong. Well, you and I are in much worse shape than that. We have plenty of opportunity to walk outside of the will of God. And it's during these times of separation that Satan will do his best to take advantage. Don't think that he's not going to take this opportunity. And also, don't get misdirected into thinking that your big fear is the virus. It's a fear, but it's not the big one. Your big fear is not unemployment. It's a fear, but it's not the big one. The biggest fear is losing or hurting your relationship with Jesus Christ. Not taking this opportunity. You cannot live saved, separated the way we are right now if you don't pray. If you don't get in your word, if this thing goes on for 3 months, some Christians will never again come back into the church. They'll be so far away from God. Take it. Don't take it lightly. Take it for real. Get into your word. You know, the very best way for a Christian to maintain their spirituality is to pray. Relationship with Jesus. Just have that relationship with him. We think now in our minds that, oh, well, you got to have a church. You got to have a worship team. Man, you got to have a pulpit and a Bible. You got to have a preacher. But that's not the truth. Enoch, the antediluvian, the seventh from Adam, he had no Bible. A Bible hadn't been written. He had no church. There was no fellowship. In fact, most of the world was evil. But the Bible holds this testimony of Enoch. He walked with God. That means his own personal relationship was strong enough with God that he just walked in godliness without a Bible, without a church. Now, thank God we've got a Bible, and as soon as the government gives us a break here, we'll have a church. As soon as the CDC says it's all right. But that's no excuse for you not to walk with God. Get closer to him. You know, all the excuses we have, well, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to him. He's smart enough. He's smart enough. He can figure out what you're saying. Yeah. Well, I don't speak the language well. Well, just speak whatever language you speak. He knows what you're talking about. This is the opportunity we have to just talk to God. Spend time in his presence. Hallelujah. Yes, he was in the mountains and the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Satan used the opportunity, his separation from everyone else, to really begin to work with him and take him from a bad situation to a worse situation to a worse situation. He didn't start out on day one with 2,000 demons in him. He probably just started out with a hard head, like many of us do. And little by little, he got pulled deeper and deeper and deeper into this horrible situation. But let me say this, no matter what your situation, you already may have made some missteps. Jesus can get you out of them. Jesus can give you the help that you need if you'll just simply walk with him. Now, if you notice, all the way back in the beginning of time, all the way back in the garden, God made Adam, then he made Eve. And you will notice that the serpent did not come to Eve while she was in the presence of Adam. He waited for a moment that she was separated. A time that he could catch her alone. And you know the story. He began to speak to her. And he began to manipulate her thoughts. Until finally she got her to do what she knew she was not supposed to do. Adam had told her, we cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan worked with her mind. And listen, when you and I are alone together, we're not that strong. Just by ourselves, I'm not strong and you're not strong. Look at John the Baptist. He was so strong, he was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. He was railing against Herod and Herodias. But as soon as they isolated him and put him into prison, Satan has so worked with his mind that he asked his disciples, go ask Jesus, are you the one? Or do we look for another? Satan can work with your mind. The very thing you said you won't do, he can get you to do it. And it's during these times of separation, this is the biggest danger that we have right now, is maintaining our spiritual mindset. When he comes, Jesus told us this ahead of time. He said, when the thief comes, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He does not come to help us out. He does not come to give us godly advice. I told you 3-4 weeks ago, I told you if this thing keeps on, domestic violence is going to begin to skyrocket. It's happening right now. I told you that that child abuse within the home was going to skyrocket. Watch your news. It's happening right now. And I hope this is not the case for the Christian families that are part of Christ and Vail, but husbands and wives can begin to have friction because we're right on top of each other all the time now. There's no relief. You can't go nowhere. comes to your house, he's going to steal, he's going to kill, and he's going to destroy. That's what Jesus told us. And you can't help but be separated. I'm separated. All of us are separated one from another now. Whoever's in your house, that's who's in your house. But the best thing that you can do at this point is, as long as we're out, you need to be in online church every Sunday. You need to lay aside everything else. And during the worship service, you need to worship. During the sermons, you need to be paying attention. You need to be getting something spiritual for your soul. Because see, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'm not the great shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd, but I'm the minor shepherd under him. And I've got the word of God for you, but you've got to come and you've got to pay attention to it. I hope that we can all make it out of this time of separation. And I hope that we can advance. And I'm going to just ask this question. I can't see you, so I won't ask you to raise your hands. But in the 6 weeks that we've been out, has your walk gotten stronger? Or do you think it's the same? Because it's not the same. It's gotten weaker. Have you been able to tell, I'm in my Bible more now. I'm in prayer more now than I was. Or is your perception that it was the same when in fact it's not the same? Because to have the opportunity and not to do so lets you know that it's on a decline. Where are you at this morning? Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 5. He gave us excellent, excellent advice. Verse 8, he says, be sober. It means to be sober-minded. Be vigilant. It means to stay alert. Because your adversary, you have an enemy of your soul. Yes, he's the enemy of Jesus Christ. He's the enemy of your pastor, but he's your enemy too. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. That means that he's walking into households even during this time of separation, and he's ripping them up. I saw on the news just the other day, the man got so angry with his small child, he threw him out the second story window. Threw him out, his baby. I thought people are going crazy. The murder rate in New York is surging. Watch the news. It's surging right now. Last year, they've got twice the murders this year that they had last year at this time. And a lot of it the news won't tell you. But when you put people together and you don't give them breathing room, things can happen. And let me say this to our congregation. You're at home and you're there with your spouse. And usually one of you is at work and you have plenty of room. And now there is no room. You're there. Pray. You need to pray. Say, God, help me keep a nice disposition. Help me not to be the one that's causing issues. Help me to be easy to live with. Help me not to talk so much. You know, ask God to help you. And all of that goes a long way to keeping peace in your house. Because this that's happening in society, it shouldn't happen in Christian households that's walking with God. Jesus, when you have a relationship with him and you're married, he becomes the referee in your marriage. And you don't have to go and say, hey, call the shot, referee. He calls it before you even know it's a shot. He'll say, you shouldn't have done that. The Holy Spirit will smite your heart. But that only happens when you're walking in relationship with him. When you've pushed him off so many days, suddenly you can't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. Suddenly it doesn't have the same impact that it had previously. Satan is your adversary. The term adversary, it simply means this, that he will oppose your best interest. His job, his full-time employment is to oppose your best interest. His job is to resist all of your efforts to live good and be pleasing to God. His job is to resist your purpose to walk in fellowship with God. That's what he does. I wonder how many Christians now, I'm going to leave it right here at Christ Unveiled, have a greater TV habit than when this whole thing started. The TV habit is turning into a TV addiction. Can't pray because, well, the TV's on right now. I wonder how many. You know, there's many things that can trap us. As many of us now, our eating habit has exploded. Yeah. This is the time that you can really learn how to bring discipline in your own life. Discipline yourself. I have the same. I like candy. And I like fruit, which has a high sugar content. And I also like pastries. And you know I love ice cream. And we got it all in the house. And so I have to be responsible to discipline myself that I can't do that. I have to back off myself. And it grows your discipline. It causes you to exert ownership over your physical body. It's a good thing for us. It's a good thing. Satan will resist you at every point. He'll eat that bowl of ice cream and he'll remind you, brother, that bowl of ice cream was good, wasn't it? You ought to go back and get another one. Get a bigger one this time. Praise the Lord. I wish I could see your faces sitting at home. I wish I could see your faces. But the point that I'm trying to make this morning, that we're separated from God. Not separated from God, but separated from the fellowship. You're separated from the pastor in terms of us being able to fellowship one another and feed off of one another's strength. The online church is all that we have right now. But that does not mean that you have to be separated from God. You can learn to have a better walk with Jesus Christ during this time of separation than you had previously. As I said, every Christian is either going to be better off or worse off when this whole thing ends. How's it looking in your life? How's it looking for you thus far? It's been 6 weeks. Get down to business with God. Get into your prayer closet. Even if you don't know how to pray, go into a private place by yourself. It's not elaborate words. It's just a sincere cry of your heart. Just tell God, Lord, I need my job. I don't want to be laid off now. I want you to protect me on my job. God, I don't want this virus. I've got children. I've got an underlying health condition. I want you to keep me whole and keep me healthy. That's how you talk with God at the point of your need is when you begin to share with him. And then remember your pastor and pray for me. And remember the other people in the body of Christ and pray for them. Pray for our local authorities, our governmental officials. They've got difficult decisions that they're making. And I'll be honest with you, they don't have a good decision. All of the decisions are bad. They did all of this because they want to keep people safe. But I heard the man just this morning say that, well, we're going to have to lay off some city workers because we're not making any taxes. Nobody's buying anything because they're at home right now. So they don't have a good option. They're doing the very best that they can. And listen, our county judge said this, and I think it's right. I don't necessarily like him that much, but I think the man was right. He said, just give me some grace. He said, just give me some grace on this. And I think that we have to do that as long as their decisions are not ungodly. It's a time of separation. We need to be very careful. I'm going to ask the musicians, please, to come back. I'll share this last verse of scripture with you. We are separated one from another. We are separated in terms of the community and the fellowship. But you do not have to be separated from God. You do not have to be separated in your walk from the Lord. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Paul says, I am persuaded. Now let's stop right there for a minute. Paul was sitting in prison. He could not fellowship with the other disciples. He could not fellowship with the churches that he had founded. He's isolated, separated in prison. But here's what he says. He says, I am persuaded. I made up my mind that neither death nor life, nor things to come, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. And we need to have that exact same mindset. I'm going to walk with God. And I don't mean I'm just going to walk with him just with a frivolous faith that I kind of throw up. No, I'm going to get down to business and I'm going to have a more solid walk with him when this separation is over than I ever had before. I'm going to know him for myself. Thank God for the pastor. Thank God for the fellowship. But saints, you need to know him for yourself. You need to walk with him all by yourself. In the last days, he said, this know also, perilous times are upon us. This is not the last thing that's going to happen. I suspect that it will happen more and more often, this and things like it. As we move towards that hour that people are not able to buy or sell except they take the mark, things are going to get worse and worse. That's what the Bible tells us. The wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, that's what's going to happen in these last days. Gird up your most holy faith. Get closer to Jesus Christ so that we all together, whether we're in the same room or whether we're spread about, so that we all can have that fellowship with him. Now, right there in your living rooms, I'm going to ask you, if you would, just bow your heads with me. And let's go to the Lord and just ask him for the conviction of his Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? Father, we come to you right now. We've never had this kind of time alone. It's almost like the people of God, Israel, when you brought them out of Egypt and you took them out into the wilderness. Lord, the Hebrews had so much time on their hands, they didn't know what to do. And we're in the same case right now. And Father, we come to you and we ask you for holy conviction upon our hearts and lives, that we might come aside and find ourselves alone with you, that we might turn off the televisions and the computers and all of the gadgets and gadgets that we have and just find ourselves in your presence, building up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that our relationship might grow stronger. Come on, right there in your home. Why don't you start now? Lift up your voice right there in your living room, your bedroom, wherever you're at. And just begin to call on God. Lord, I need help. God, this thing is affecting me. I need help. Father, we just call upon you right now. Come on, just call upon him right now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for watching, and please subscribe. You can also find more of our videos in our archives at ChristUnveiled.org. We'll see you next time.